So today is the beginning of Advent, and Advent means coming. We can think of the season like an adventure. This word has a double significance, as in Advent, we celebrate Christ coming into the world and look with longing for his coming again. The season of Advent begins this year in our lectionary readings with an emphasis on final things or the last things. We watch and pray with expectant hope for the establishment of God's justice and the return of the Prince of Peace. And so as the weeks of Advent progress, the focus shifts in the lectionary to thanks and praise for the birth of the one who has already come, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So first, there's a reading from Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. The two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now that was the lectionary reading for today with an emphasis on the second coming. There is good news and bad news in that Matthew 24 passage. The bad news is Christ is coming at an unexpected time to judge the world. How will Christ judge the world and judge us when it comes to how we're taking care of poverty or how we're promoting vitality? And how we're handling the problem of racism. We can only guess how the final analysis of our life and how that really works. But these passages give us a clue. But the good news is, Christ the judge is also Christ our Savior. Jesus came to the world to demonstrate with his love in action how to be the way he wants us to be. If we behave the way he taught us, we have nothing to worry about when Christ judges the world. Now, in the next chapter of Matthew, we find the foundation for a new coordinated church mission program developed by the PCUSA General Assembly. Our highest governing body, the General Assembly, is promoting to all the churches a program called Be a Matthew 25 Church. And your Advent devotional that you should have picked up today was developed to be part of that project. At our last session meeting last week, we decided to join in with this program to be a Matthew 25 church. So what is a Matthew 25 church? Matthew 25, 31 to 46 calls all of us to actively engage in the world around us. So our faith comes alive and we wake up to the new possibilities. Both the 222nd and the 223rd General Assemblies exhorted the PCUSA to act boldly and compassionately to serve people who are hungry, oppressed, imprisoned, or poor. To participate in the Matthew 25 program, we must pledge to be a Matthew 25 church by making a loving commitment of radical and fearless discipleship. And it embraces three areas of focus. building congregational vitality by challenging people and congregations to deepen their faith and get actively and joyfully engaged with their community and the world. The second part is dismantling structural racism by advocating and acting to break down the systems, practices, and thinking that underlie discrimination, bias, prejudice, and oppression of people of color. And the third part is eradicating systematic poverty by working to change laws, policies, plans, and structures in our society that perpetuate economic exploitation of people who are poor. So in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, Jesus talks about dividing up the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are the ones who do actions of compassion and justice in the eyes of God. And the goats are representing the unjust, the selfish ones. And then it reads, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, you did it to me." And so in our session pledged to be a Matthew 25 church, we committed to work on building congregational vitality, dismantling structural racism, and eradicating systematic poverty. Huge goals, aren't they? And we promised then to keep track of the impact of our ministry and share our stories with the General Assembly of the PCUSA. So I hope you will join us in this endeavor. We already do some important things in all these areas, such as providing a health ministry that is willing to help other churches learn how to start their own health ministry. That helps congregational vitality, which means helping the congregation be strong and vital. And even though we already do a lot, there's always room for improvement and new ideas to expand these actions even bigger and better through acts of kindness. God is good, and I am sure that we can meet our Matthew 25 pledge if we put our energy and compassion into these areas of focus in 2020. For example, the Church and World Committee is seeking more people to help us become a green church by looking at all the resources the Earth Care program has to offer us. And that's a PCUSA organized program to help churches think about all the different ways that we can be more energy efficient. This action fits the congregational vitality focus too. To be an Earth Care church, we take a pledge that includes declaring that God's call to us cherishes, protects, and restores the earth, provides learning opportunities to help us understand the threats to God's creation and the damage that's already been inflicted. And we're also to support efforts to heal creation in response to God's call to earth keeping. And we're called to upgrade our church facility, which we've already started by putting in LED lights, to use energy more efficiently, to conserve resources, and to share our resources for the sustainability of others. And God also calls us to encourage public policy that protects and restores the vulnerable and degraded earth. We are to work for environmental justice through ecumenical partnerships throughout our community. So here we are, entering the adventure of Advent again. And there is much to do. But our church invites you to celebrate the coming of Christ by purchasing meaningful gifts on the alternative Christmas shopping list or taking a heart from the giving tree and get a gift for someone in real need of one. Go Christmas caroling with the boomers to the nearby nursing homes and enjoy bringing huge smiles to the faces of the lonely folks who can't go home. There is a mystery embedded in Advent, too. What really happened those 2,020 years ago or so that caused a huge star to light up the sky when Christ was born? Scientists can't quite explain it, just like they're not sure of the origin of the mysterious comet now coming towards us at 93,000 miles per hour from interstellar space that's coming right now. It is coming from beyond our galaxy, and they can see it coming. They expect it to just get close to the Earth around December 8th. And they said that it will be between the distance of our star and the Earth. So we're not going to be hit, it looks like, by this comet. But it's something totally alien that the scientists cannot explain. Kind of like the birth of Christ in Advent. It's mysterious, and we think that our brains just can't quite figure some of these things out, of how Jesus was really born and this star in the sky predicted it, and there's so much mystery still in the world. The advent of the Christ child is mysterious, God is mysterious, and so we are called to enter into this mysterious season of Advent with a sense of awe and wonder. So take your eyes off the glittery material things at the stores for a while and focus on the Holy Spirit-inspired things. Breathe and pray to clear your mind and feel the peace that comes when you focus on listening to God. Ask God for ideas to help people, like the social club folks that come here on Mondays and Wednesdays. They are so glad if any of you could volunteer just an hour or two of your time to help shepherd their clients while they listen to music or play bingo or do crafts and puzzles. And ask God to lead you to find a way to help our brothers and sisters who are homeless and freezing cold these wet, chilly nights. Here's an opportunity for you to help homeless teens. If you go to the SAY website, you can see that the first thing they really need are meals and help with preparing meals. But then they also have all these different volunteer opportunities that you can be involved with. And it's just right over here on Hone Avenue. You can walk into their front office and say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. Where can you need me most? And they'll find a place for you there. It's very well organized, and the young people that need a place for shelter are helped very well with their whole lives once they enter the SAY program. So enter into Advent with an open heart and mind to let God use you to bring joy and peace to others this Christmas. Amen.